Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot that in this gospel which has a complete parallel. That was Mark we just heard, and there's a total parallel to it in Matthew and also in Luke, where there's this moment, Caesarea Philippi, and they say, "Who do people say that I am?" And it comes. The apostles mention who everyone's been speculating, and then there's this confession of faith. It's like the first time that we hear one of the apostles calling Jesus for who he is. "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And in the version, I believe it's in Matthew, there's a moment when Christ says to Jesus, or excuse me, when Jesus says back to Peter, "This is not flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, the fact that you know this about me, but my Father in heaven has." And he says, "And you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will never prevail against it." Now, all that's a whole nother homily, but there's so much. This one's so deep. It's got a lot going on into it, and I'm going to deep dive on just one element. Because what happens is there's this glorious moment when the apostles are now vocalizing and recognizing that This is the Messiah. He's not just a holy man, not just a prophet, but the Messiah. And immediately, Jesus makes a hard turn in a way that they're not expecting. The Messiah, me, are going to be rejected by the elders, suffer greatly, rejected by the elders, chief priests, scribes, going to be killed, and on the third day, rise again. They didn't understand that last part. They understood what the rest of it was. And Peter is like, "Whoa, hold on a second." And it says here, Peter took him aside and rebuked him. From the other gospel, we know what he was saying. He said, "Far be it for this to happen to you, Master. There's a better way. We're here. We got your back. We can make better plans than that. Okay, here, let's get everyone's mind together." It's almost like that's what he's saying. Because clearly, "Lord, what you just laid out cannot happen. You're just wrong. That just can't happen. It's not going to happen." Right? And that's when our Lord rebukes him, Peter. And he turns to all the disciples to make sure they hear it. It's going to be a very deeply humiliating moment for Peter. It says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking you're as God does, but the way human beings do. You're trying to figure out this puzzle the way people do. And it's not God's way." So there's going to be this confusion that Peter is left in trying to figure out, well, I know who he is. He just told me 8 seconds ago that God has revealed things to me, and now I'm trying to use that gift. and tell him, well, maybe I got another one from God that I don't know about, that maybe you're not supposed to die and suffer and all these things. Peter can be forgiven for saying something like that, for sure. Like what are the rest of us wouldn't say the same thing? And it should be expected. Yet sometimes the plan, the path of God is absolutely not what we are expecting and absolutely not what we want either. You don't have to go very far into your own memory bank in order to come across a situation, either one that's happening currently, right now, or in the not so distant past, where there's a fork in the road as some things are going to turn out this way or that way, or maybe some third way, and you have one or two of them, you're saying, okay, Lord, that can't happen. Lord, it's not going to happen. It can't happen. You're not going to let that happen, right, Lord? Huh? And there's this fear that has us paralyzed, and we're worrying, and we're stressed, and what if he does make it happen? What if he does let it happen? It's not a good thing. Of course it can't happen, because it's not good. And someone's going to do something bad and wrong, and so God has to stop that. How many times in history has that happened, though, when God has stopped it? A good many times. Maybe in some time for herself, but not always. Maybe sometimes we're thinking not as God thinks, but as we think. I'll share, I wasn't planning on this, but it's just coming to me right now, an incident I had when I was in the seminary. I was in the last 3 years of seminary life. It's studying theology. I'm over in Rome. I've already been at it for 10 years. I got 2 years left to go. And we do a month-long silent retreat. It's like the Ignatian spiritual exercises, but it's for a full month. Imagine that, no talking, 1 month. It was amazing. It was tough as nails, man. It was really intense, 30 days straight. But going into it, I was kind of like, okay, well, if there's anything that God needs to change in me, okay, 30 days, this is a great chance. Okay, so Lord, nothing's off the table here. Nothing's out of bounds. Because if I can't get it done, if I can't give a big yes in a retreat like this, I'll probably never do it. So let's do it now, okay? Okay, great. And so day one of the retreat, and I'm already like, I wonder what he's going to ask. I wonder what he's going to do. Is there like a special grace or something like that? Maybe I'll get the stigmata. Or something. No, I wasn't thinking that. But it's just kind of like, you know, like spiritually attentive to what God might be up to. Day two comes along, and we're doing these, the meditations are about the big things that God, creation and the beauty of it and the freedom with which God did it. And we're just in the glorious, majestic magnanimity of God and creation. And I just got this little doubt in the back of my head. What if he were to ask me not to go forward to become a priest? And like, this is as far as he wants me to go, because he's got some other plan. No, of course not. Well, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, of course not, he's not going to ask that. What if he does? No, of course he's not going to ask that. I've been at this for 10 years, and I mean, and that'd be kind of embarrassing to fail out that far, that deep into the program and not make it, not hack it, not cut it. What's people going to say? What are my family going to say? Because they've been watching me on this journey, and I'd be kind of embarrassing. So of course he's not going to ask that from me. But what if he did? Lord, you're not going to ask that of me, right? But what if he does? And I managed to get myself tied up in a knot over the course of 3 days that I was just a total mess. I was like, no, you can't do this. You're not going to do this. It just, there was like zero flexibility on my part and zero, more importantly, docility on my part. And then in the midst of one of the meditations, one of the prayers, I remember where I was sitting in the chapel. I was in the back, kind of towards the back on the right-hand side. This is over at our seminary. And I'm really just chewing and chewing on this thing and struggling with it, wrestling with it, God, and said, Lord, please don't ask this of me. And then he said, I mean, not with words, I just kind of understood in my heart, he says, have I ever let you down? And I knew that he has absolutely never, ever, ever let me down in anything. And I just, Lord, I'm so sorry. Why? I shouldn't worry. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, it's fine. Now, spoiler, here I am. But oftentimes there are things that God allows to happen for reasons that we cannot fathom. Things that are contrary to what, it's sort of like what Peter was looking at, contrary to what common sense would say, even like spiritual common sense would say. Yet God's ways are not our ways. There is a novena that I'm going to suggest to all of you that has been very helpful for me, that I've had just multiple people from different angles, completely disconnected from each other, recommend it to me in the last like 2 weeks. And so I've been doing this, and it's been amazing. There's a priest, his name is Father Don Dolindo, which means one who suffers. He grew up in Italy. He passed away, I think maybe around like 1970 or so. He's not a saint, but I'm willing to bet he probably will be someday, because Padre Pio, which is just outrageous, crazy, amazing saint, would say things about Padre Dolindo, said, that saint, the whole of paradise is in the soul. And he's saying, like, well, why do you come to see me over here in San Giovanni Rotondo? Go see Father Dolindo over there. You got him. So this is a man who had an amazing, beautiful spiritual life. And there was moments when our Lord would, like, converse with him and just, like, does happen with some saints, and kind of give them, okay, tell people this. And it's like, and Jesus dictated it to him, this novena. And so, okay, is it really Jesus' words? Is it not? Well, just pray the novena and find out and see what it does for you. Because we have so many in front of us, so many different decisions, options, variabilities that are so out. Is God want me to do this? He want me to do that? I could do this. I could do this. I hope he doesn't ask me to have to do that. I better not have to suffer through that. Well, so what am I supposed to think? I don't know. There's too much. And I have control over so little of this. I mean, we're really fooling ourselves if we think we really know how tomorrow's going to play out. We have no idea. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't just be completely passive. You should go and attack it with holiness and with decision as best you can muster. In all the big decisions in our life, we should do that. God gives you a mind to be able to discern things. But we need to surrender to God's will. And this is the surrender novena. I'm imagining that many individuals went to Don Dolindo asking him with, what do I do? I've got these problems. It's so complicated. And if I do this, maybe that'll happen. But if I do the other, then the other thing will happen. And I just don't know how to untie this knot. And so this novena is a prayer that the Lord gave to him. And I'm going to read to you day one. It's super easy. By the way, you can just pull it, Google it, and it'll pop right up. Surrender novena. Boom. There you got it. And so what you do is you pray the first, you read through the paragraph or words. It's written as it's words of Jesus to you. And then at the end of it, you repeat one line 10 times. And the line is, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Now, there's not magic in the number 10. But just as you pray it 10 times, we're seeking to open up our soul, to really turn these things over to our Lord. Turn your problems, your difficulties, your worries, your stressors, turn them over to the Lord. These quandaries, which way next kind of thing. I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Now, for day one, I'll just read, it's like two sentences, three. Why do you confuse yourself with worrying? Leave the care of your affairs to me, and everything will be peaceful. I say to you in truth that every act of true, blind, complete surrender to me produces the effect that you desire and resolves all difficult situations. Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Our Lord knows exactly what paths we need to walk down. And the gold that he's distilling, sorry, that's the wrong word, purifying, refining in our hearts. And he knows exactly what kind of suffering that we have to go through. That's what Peter wanted our Lord not to go through. Far be it for this to happen to you, Lord. But maybe that's the path to the true peace and happiness that we need and we desire. Just maybe our Lord actually knows what he's up to. So the novena, the surrender novena, you do it just once a day, 9 days. There's a different prayer each day, or a different little meditation each day. But as you're running into situations, I just thoroughly recommend pull this one up and pray through it. And even if you don't have a big decision, it doesn't have to be a major life crisis. It can be just even the small things. It'd be each day, the thing that, for work, for family, relations, health, turn it over to the Lord. He wants to help you with it.